Elizabeth Elliot says, there's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, carrying on today with a wonderful story from Acts 27 of a storm at sea and a shipwreck. Have you ever read that chapter? It's quite exciting, I think. And this is all under the heading of God's being in charge of everything that happens. Do you believe that? Is it possible to believe that a holy God who sits up there seemingly so remote in heaven, maybe he does take charge of the planets and the stars and the whales in the ocean, but does he really take charge of me? Elizabeth, are you serious that God is interested in the little things in my life? Yes, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. That's why I'm here. Gateway to Joy is a program meant to point you to God, not to your problems, not to your circumstances and your surroundings, not to how awful everything is in the world, although we do mention those things and things can get pretty awful. But somebody's in charge. Somebody's got the whole world in his hands. That's what this series is about. That's what just about everything we talk about on Gateway to Joy is about. We were reading the first part of this exciting story of the storm at sea. The Apostle Paul is traveling to Rome, and they get into a hurricane. It was so bad that neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, and we finally gave up all hope of being saved, he says in Acts 27, verse 20. Let's carry on with verse 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Now, you see, Paul had warned them. And if they'd been smart, they would have taken Paul's advice. But even when men defy the advice that God sends them, even when they willfully and stupidly go their own way and get into trouble because of it, God doesn't abandon them. That's what this story shows us. And even Paul, he didn't just sit down and twiddle his thumbs and say, "Well, you guys, it's up to you now. It's your little red wagon, I told you. And you should have taken my advice. You didn't do it, so now where are we?" But instead of that, he encourages them. He says, "I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Well, that's quite a bit, isn't it? But not their lives. How did he know this? He says, "Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Those words, "nevertheless, we must run aground," apply to our lives too. There are times, because of our refusal to listen to the message of God, we run aground. It's inevitable. Our choices have consequences. We cannot avoid the consequences of our choices here on earth. Will God abandon us at that point? Even if we run aground, he will not abandon us. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. when about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. You see, here's the affirmation in Scripture that God's in charge of the elements, but we are responsible to do the things that we can do. All they could do was drop the anchors and pray. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." It was obviously their intention, these sailors, to abandon the ship. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." Well, that was a word of cheer and encouragement, wasn't it? Is there a better sound than "let's eat"? They hadn't even thought about eating. They'd been so terrified. Common sense, godly, simple common sense. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of all of them. I can just imagine the wave of peace that must have come over that shipwrecked crowd. He gave thanks to God in front of them all, and then he broke it and began to eat. Simple little thing, isn't it? It's amazing how in the midst of some huge disaster, just the simple matter of having a cup of tea, taking a piece of bread, going to sleep, the God-given simple human needs attended to can help. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail, I don't know how you pronounce that, probably foresail, to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Paul was a prisoner, you know. He was being taken to Rome as a prisoner. And yet he, even in his status as a prisoner, was the one who was able to save that ship by telling them what to do and by listening to God. So God allows the consequences of their choice. The ship does run aground, breaks to pieces in the pounding surf. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. And then it tells the story of how Paul is able to lay hands on a sick man. The chief official of the island said that his father was sick in bed, and Paul laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he was healed. And so Paul and the rest of them were honored, and when they were ready to sail, they furnished them with supplies that they needed. And then it was that the Lord gave them a south wind, a gentle wind, in order to get them where they needed to go. The Lord who brought the hurricane was also the Lord who brought the south wind. And when the Lord brings a hurricane into our lives, He may allow us to run aground. He may allow us to lose the ship. But He always brings good out of what looks to us like evil. The Lord works out everything according to His own plans. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In Christ we have been given our share in the heritage, as was decreed in His design, whose purpose is everywhere at work." His design, whose purpose is everywhere at work. Do you imagine that we are at the mercy of blind fate, evil forces, mere chance? Is it all a gamble? Is God worth trusting? God's loving care has placed you and me exactly where we can best receive the gift of grace, which is Himself. Your turning on the radio today has meaning, negative or positive. But God is sovereign over all. He's giving us in every moment the chance to look to Him, to trust Him. Events are His servants. It's not often that we become intensely aware of divine providence, but God could not be in charge of the big things if He were not also in charge of the little ones.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.